Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Locked On Frauds pod. Oh, sorry, Locked On Eagles. What's going on, everybody? This is Lou DiBiase alongside Gino Camilleri, your two hosts of the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And I did not mistake myself there, Gino. The Eagles are absolutely frauds after falling to the 2-9 Miami Dolphins today in South Beach, 37-31 after blowing a 28-14 lead in the third quarter. You put it perfectly, I feel like, on Twitter. This was a culmination of basically everything that's really hurt this team for the past 2 years, and it really all came together full circle today in what was, to me, the worst loss since, what, those 2015 blowouts to Tampa Bay, right? Those games, Detroit on Thanksgiving. Even last year, the Saints' loss was a low point for this organization, but they turn it around right now when the 2019 Eagles are collapsing at the seams, three straight losses now, and this one's unforgivable, Gino, against a tanking team with Ryan Fitzpatrick and just a bunch of scrubs on the roster. I mean, it's embarrassing.
That's what it is, and this is so much worse than anything I could have imagined, to be honest with you, because this was a game which we, since the schedules came out, we wrote off as one of the games that they have to win. Did they? No, they didn't. And that's what's happened throughout this year, and that's what happened in 2018 a lot as well. And this was the perfect culmination of everything that is the Philadelphia Eagles post Super Bowl run. You had a 28-14 lead. Jim Schwartz, of course, just lets that go away by the wayside, much like he did in 2018 against Tennessee and Carolina.
And nearly against Jacksonville, right? Like, you thought, oh, here's Bortles. You almost let Bortles back into it, just like Fitzpatrick, and this time they actually blew it.
Yeah, exactly. And then you look at Carson Wentz. He's up and down for the most part. Then he comes around and just leads them back, and he has three touchdowns and is having an excellent day. They get the lead, and then all of a sudden, Doug Peterson just stops running the football and just stops running clock when they had a lead, which is insane. And he's done that in situations where he just seemingly forgets how to play call and forgets how to be Doug Peterson. And then just the defense, just no hope in the corners, just playing off coverage again. And we just got back to all those games since even the Super Bowl when they're playing off coverage 10 to 15 yards at a time and allowing a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick and Devontae Parker to eat them alive. That defense and those cornerbacks, especially Ronald Darby and Jalen Mills, we look back and I was just thinking, you mentioned that blowout to Tampa, and I feel like I was when I left that stadium that day in 2015, just defeated. And I just think back to those poor cornerback performances that day. It was Byron Maxwell who led up three touchdowns to Mike Evans. You know, the Eric Rowe game on Thanksgiving to Kelvin Johnson. You know, the Bradley Fletchers and the other games, the Kerry Williamses of the world. Today was the Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby game. I mean, there's no other way to put it. They were straight up embarrassed on every single plane. They did not come up on a single third or fourth down. They had two touchdowns on fourth downs, which is inexplicable. And the guy who we praised the last couple weeks for putting his guys in the position to succeed, Jim Schwartz, left his guys out to dry. And it was just a bad, bad, bad performance from that defense today.
Well, and the worst part, you know, is we've been doing this show now for 2 years, and I feel like a broken record because me and you, whenever this team is struggling, it again is the same things over and over and over again. We go back just this year. I mean, how many times you go to that Minnesota loss when they were 3-3 and you were saying it was everything together, everything that the Eagles have been struggling with. One game it's drops, the next game it's penalties, the next one it's, you know, defensive scheme and coverage, and then it all came full circle against the Vikings.
Yeah, we didn't even mention the drops and penalties yet. Like,
yeah, exactly.
They killed themselves.
So it's just, it's everything. It's the same stuff for not just this season that we've been talking about, but last year too. And when you have all of that continuously, when you have the same consistent flaws in your team over and over again, that's a coaching thing, and that's just the making of a non-contender, which at 5-7 right now, and it's unbelievable that if they win out still, they win the division. But I don't want to think about that right now, Gino. I'm ready for the offseason. I'm ready for the draft, because at 5-7, losing to this Dolphins team with the lack of talent on that roster, this is who you are now. You are not, even if you make the playoffs, this is not a contender whatsoever.
No, what we watch Baltimore and the Niners put out this
season
is exactly what we were doing in 2017. And if you look at the 2017 and even the late run 2018 Eagles, you don't see a single sliver of that in this team. I mean, there was a little bit of Carson Wentz magic in there today that I would have taken out of this game. Miles Sanders looked pretty good.
He did.
If you're going to find any bright spots, but just they could not have looked any worse or any unprepared and any less motivated to get a win when they needed it. Just they once again just have inexplicable drops from players like Zach Ertz and just inexplicable penalties. Two unnecessary roughness on Tim Jernigan cost them 30 yards alone. Jalen Mills just once again cannot cover anybody. Ronald Darby cannot cover anybody. Nate Geary got juked out of his shoes. It's just there's not many guys that had a good performance today, and the one game you couldn't afford to slip up against an inferior opponent and play down to their level is when you're playing Ryan Fitzpatrick, who has done this to us. Lou, we saw it in 2011 against the Bills, and then he did it last year in Tampa. Mm-hmm. The guy has magic, and the guys rally around and play for him, and they did exactly that today against an Eagles team who inexplicably showed up and was not prepared to play that Miami team.
There was no accountability whatsoever on either side of the football or within the on the sidelines with the coaching staff. And it stinks because, Gino, I thought, once again, in that first half, you know, heading into the third quarter, you come out swinging, you score a touchdown, you know, Wentz to Alshon Jeffrey. Wentz is looking sharp. Alshon Jeffrey surpasses 100 yards. You're thinking, oh, man, we're going to get to talk about how that connection is rekindling here on the brink of a playoff run at 6-6. Josh Sweat gets his fourth sack of the season. Derek Barnett killing it, and it just all absolutely self-destructed. And that really, again, me and you say it. I mean, how many times has Gino Camilleri on the Lockdown Eagles podcast said the Eagles shot themselves in the foot? And it's just so disappointing because you talked about today on Twitter how, you know, this is tougher than 2011, the dream team year. And I agree with you 100% because it's frustrating that I'm seeing so many players that raised that Lombardi Trophy in Minnesota just 2 years ago, so many players that went on the run down the stretch last year to make the playoffs and nearly get into the NFC Championship, and to see them just not be able to get out of this inconsistent play, mental errors on the field, just assignment errors. It's so disappointing because they're veterans, Gino. This isn't a team that's a bunch of starters that are under 30 years old. This isn't the Cleveland Browns. This is a veteran. This is the second oldest team in the NFL. That's what makes it even harder to swallow with the coaches too. Jim Schwartz, Doug Peterson. It's guys that have done it before. It's mind numbing. It really is. It's so infuriating.
So let's just look back over the past 2 years and some issues that we've had. We've had bad cornerback play. We've had bad running back play. We've had bad wide receiver play. We've had up and down play calling. A few of those problems have been addressed. I mean, they went out, they got Miles Sanders. They've been a lot better. Doug Peterson is still up and down in his play calling. The two big ones to me are just coaching on the defense in general, especially at the cornerback position, and then overall positional coaching on this team. If after today and what they put out there on the defensive side of the ball and also on the offensive side of the ball, because how they just were open so much and just could not put the ball in the end zone, and a guy like Zach Ertz, how he let us down in two big moments today is just inexplicable from him. But I don't think you can sit here and look at Jim Schwartz and games that he has allowed his defense to give away and just bad performances over the last 2 years and say that, one, there isn't a major personnel issue that they have, and if there is somebody controlling the personnel as much as Jim Schwartz has been, there just needs to be an overhaul there, because what they are doing at several positions on the defense is not working in this modern day in football. And when you have cornerbacks that can't cover in a pass-happy league, something has to change.
100%. And Gino, hold that thought, because I want to get into Jim Schwartz and this defense specifically. I really want to dive into that unit, because I think that's the one. I'm not moved on to the offseason fully, but after that loss, it's really hard. Even with a path still to the playoffs here in 2019, it's really hard to think about that after seeing them lose in Miami today. So I think that to get back to where they've been over the past couple of years, there needs to be significant change on the defensive side of the football. And it really all came full circle today against the Dolphins. The Eagles fall in South Beach to the Dolphins, the 2-9 Miami Dolphins that were tanking, Gino, that were trading basically their entire roster that had any sort of talent, Minka Fitzpatrick, Laremy Tunsil, getting rid of Kenyon Drake, and yet the Eagles still lose this football game, one that they were leading by 2 scores in the second half. So we'll get into it. We got to hit one break here on the Locked On Eagles postgame show. Don't go anywhere. Lou DiBiase and Gino Camilleri joining you. We'll be right back. Today's podcast is sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, this isn't just for all of you out there who can't perform. It's for anyone who wants that extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Listen up. It's Blue Chew. Blue like the color blue. It's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So there's no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, none of that awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our Locked On Eagles listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment for free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's B-L-U-E, BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today.
All right, everybody, welcome back in. This is the Locked On Eagles postgame show. The Eagles are now 5-7. They drop this game in Miami 37-31 to the Dolphins. And Gino, like, you know, there were some offensive issues for sure. Zach Ertz, he cost you, I mean, he could have had 3 touchdowns today that he dropped. One that with 5 minutes left in the third quarter would have put you back up by 14, really in the driver's seat once again. I mean, that's so out of, you know, characteristic for Zach Ertz. And, you know, the offensive play calling was up and down. Like you said, they went away from running the football despite Miles Sanders averaging 5 yards a carry. But for me, dude, like, this was defense. And when you have, again, it's the same issues over and over again. Penalties on both sides of the ball, but how many offsides were there on the defensive line? I mean, a third straight week where you get beat by a trick play. There's no discipline to this unit whatsoever. Your cornerbacks get fleeced by the same things over and over again, and you fail to adjust where you go single high despite Devontae Parker making Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby look silly while you have a lengthy physical corner in Rasul Douglas just rotting on the bench. And when the fact that not only does Jim Schwartz, he has control of basically all of this. Doug Peterson gave him the keys to the defense. But not just that, Gino. Howie Roseman gave him personnel power for making decisions of personnel on the defense. There needs to be accountability with Jim Schwartz. To me, like, what I want on this offseason immediately, let Darby go, let Mills go, and fire Jim Schwartz. And I don't know if you're going to get 2 of 3 of that. I think Mills or Darby might be re-signed, and I have no faith that Doug Peterson's going to move on from Jim Schwartz. I think he's going to use that Seattle game and that New England game as a way to justify keeping him here, when in actuality, this scheme to me is broken. It is just unadjustable. I never want to see those three again. Jim Schwartz, Jalen Mills, and Ronald Darby. I've had enough of it. I've dealt with it for 3 years, and I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, and this is the time that you really have to make that decision, because what are you going to do going into an off season with him and potentially let him get a couple games into 2020 and say, hey, we'll cut bait 4 games in if he's bad? And then you just had an entire another off season with him making personnel decisions for that defense. I'm done with it. He hasn't had a good year as a defensive coordinator since his year in Buffalo. And I've said it multiple times on this podcast. This isn't the first time I'm saying this. Jim Schwartz has been a problem in Philadelphia. The personnel they have on their defense has been a problem in Philadelphia. When your defensive front is getting there all game and Derek Barnett is having one of the best games I've ever seen him play, and Josh Sweat gets his 4th sack of the year, and you just can't cover for any amount of time on the back end against Albert Wilson, who's a good player in his own right, and Devontae Parker getting the ball from Ryan Fitzpatrick, that scares no defenses outside of the Philadelphia Eagles for some sort. It just didn't make any sense to me that Jim Schwartz played down to that level, and he just didn't adapt. He blitzed Fitzpatrick early. Fitzpatrick ate up the blitz. He blitzed them again. He ate up the blitz again. He just didn't adapt. And then one of the most pivotal plays in the game, 3rd and 6, down in our end of the field, and he drops Derek Barnett and Josh Sweat into zone coverage. What the hell was that? It is inexplicable. And he is just a guy who thinks he knows more than we do, and he thinks he knows more than Doug Peterson, and he thinks he knows more than Jeffrey.
Well, that's the thing, dude. It's like the arrogance.
I mean, the arrogance at his press conference. You're sitting there allowing Fitzpatrick to tear you alive, and you don't do anything. You don't try and put two guys to Devontae Parker's side at any given time. You just didn't double him at all. You just let him eat your cornerbacks alive, and you did nothing throughout that game. Today, if you get back to Philadelphia and they don't take a page out of Game of Thrones season 1 episode 9 Baylor when they cut off Ned Stark's head, that's exactly what has to happen tomorrow in Philadelphia, because one, nobody cares right now. I mean, you could see it on the face of some of these players. They're just disinterested at this point in time. You have to make heads roll. You have to make a statement. You have to hold people accountable. And you're not going to do that by doing the same exact thing you do week in and week out and continually giving Nelson Agholor playing time and continually giving Ronald Darby and Jalen Mills playing time and Nate Geary playing time when these players are playing bad football. Who is being held accountable on this team right now outside of a guy in Carson Wentz who's getting all the flack, who today deserves none of the flack, and he's still going to get some because that's just how fandom works and that's how the NFL works. The quarterback who had a good game, who was up 14 points in this game, all of a sudden is now losing a one-score football game because the defense cannot make a single stop.
Carson Wentz has absorbed basically all of the accountability this year that should go across the board. And to the fact, you know, today, after the game, you talked about disinterested. Like, you're spot on. It's so disappointing that, I mean, nobody even talked to the media today. Jason Peters, Malcolm Jenkins did, Alshon Jeffrey.
Like, who's a leader right now? Like, who's taking hold of this team outside of maybe Malcolm Jenkins?
It's Carson Wentz, but nobody will say that. It's his fault. Everything has been his fault. Like, he was supposed to elevate Zach Ertz more to catch those footballs today, don't you know? Like, that's how it's supposed to work, right? So,
in my opinion, he had a great game. He took everything that was given to him, and in situations when he had to press, he tried to press, and he makes a great throw at the end of the game. Unfortunately, he couldn't get a stop from his defense earlier on, and maybe had more time on the clock to lead his team down the field. It's just, it's disappointing, and just, it's little things, man. Like, Tim Jernigan should have been benched after that second personal foul. That can't happen. Jalen Mills should have been benched after he let up those two catches and let up that inexplicable pass interference, which, it's a low throw. You don't even need to grab the player's arm. It's to the point where you're just, we are at the point of insanity, Lou. We are doing things over and over again, trying to get a different result and getting the same exact result. We are putting out a personnel grouping on defense that just does not work. We are putting together play calling late in games that just doesn't work. And this team, they talked about how they're going to go back in the offseason and self-scout. Doug Peterson made a huge point of that. They're doing all of the same things that they've done wrong the past two to three years. They just don't have things going right, much like they had in 2017. When everything goes wrong now and you don't get those bounces going the right way and you don't have the injury luck which you had in 17 and now you're just ridden down to your bare bones in some positions, those little problems become huge problems, which just bad teams will continue to do bad things unless they are held accountable, and nobody is holding them accountable at this point in time.
Jim Schwartz really, I mean, you know, and the reason I just have never been able to get on board with him, even when there's been success, like the past 2 weeks, he did adjust for sure in certain areas, but he's the kind of coach, for the most part, you talk about arrogance, like the smugness of his press conferences, he's the kind of guy that's like, my scheme, you're going to mold around my scheme, despite, I mean, you would think when you have just no talent really at corner. I mean, you could see on third and, I mean, Gino, how, like, what's your confidence level when it's third and six and this defense got to get off the field? I mean, it's virtually zero at this point. How many third downs do they blow today in the second half where you just need them to get off the ball? Give the offense the ball back here. Or on fourth down, like you said, they scored two touchdowns on fourth down against this Eagles defense and the same things. I mean, how many jump balls were there? Devontae Parker and Mike Gesicki just beating Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby in the same areas of the field, and you didn't put two safeties deep until the end of the game. What? Yeah, Rasul Douglas, maybe?
A 6'2" cornerback who's like a very good physical corner. That might have played a difference today. Ruben Frank of NBC Sports Philly just tweeted this out. The Dolphins had scored 18 offensive touchdowns all year. Their last five drives today, 84-yard touchdown, 84-yard drive and a touchdown, 75-yard drive and a touchdown, 75-yard drive and a touchdown, 61-yard drive and a touchdown, and a 96-yard drive and a touchdown. How
so
Jim
bad.
Schwartz is even allowed on that team playing is beyond me.
I signed the petition to have him walk home.
I'm there with you, man. It just something has to change, and this isn't a team that is reactionary, and they're almost becoming. There's this fine line, and in just everything in business and just relationships and everything in life, where if you start to become reactive rather than proactive, things are going to catch up to you, and before you know it, you're going to be behind the ball. And a good analogy of this is like when you lose weight. Losing weight is tough. Keeping it off is even harder, you know, but putting it back on is easy. Mm-hmm. So if you can get ahead of the ball and stay ahead of the ball, much like they were in 2017, and we thought that they were in 18 and hopefully moving into 19, that's just not what is happening right now. And you see them. They're stuck in a mode where 17 is just like the fix it all. And I'm sure they're looking at a lot of what they did in 17, and a lot of it isn't working anymore. And they're just not adapting, and they're allowing the same basic play calling. I mean, even today, their plays were working. They were executing them. But still, I mean, you knew when the Dallas Goedert screen pass was coming. You knew when Miles Sanders was going to get a handoff. As soon as J.J. Arcega-Whiteside came on the field, Miles Sanders is getting the ball until they changed up halfway through the game. But still, they're just a very vanilla team, and they have passed this point of being a proactive team to go ahead of the curve. They're behind the curve, in my opinion, man. They're not playing the same style of football as Seattle and as New Orleans, as these good teams. They're a middle-of-the-road team right now who just lost to arguably a team that may not have beat the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in the Grey Cup.
I was going to say, they might be the least talented team in the NFL, but you're right, dude. They are kind of behind the curve right now, and we'll see. This offseason is going to tell a whole lot. We'll see if they truly want to be that team that stays ahead of the curve, what they do personnel-wise on offense, what they decide to do there at wide receiver, what they decide to do at, you know, on offense when it comes to the coaching staff with Mike Groh, and then on defense with Jim Schwartz. Like, if Doug Peterson heads into 2020 with the same coaching staff that he has now, I mean, I'm sorry, but you can bring in Henry Ruggs, you can bring in a lot of new talent, you could sign Byron Jones off the free agent market, or Amari Cooper,
Henry
whatever
Ruggs
you
won't
do.
Get a catch till week 15.
Exactly. There are still going to be a lot of these issues if the coaching staff stays basically the same way it is now, and I'm nervous that it might be. We'll see what happens, but we got to hit another break here on the Locked On Eagles postgame show. The Eagles fall in Miami to what was just, again, a very untalented Dolphins team. They're 5-7 now. We'll look ahead to next week, coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back in. This is Lou DiBiase and Gino Camilleri. The Eagles drop at 37-31 to the Dolphins. Gino, again, lackadaisical is how I felt that they came out of that second half, just uninspired. Defensively, it was all the same things that shot themselves in the foot. And it sucks because, again, I wanted to talk about on the show, you said it before the podcast, you don't really get to hype up J.J. Arcega-Whiteside for that great touchdown grab. I mean, he's made splash plays now. He's made splash plays three straight weeks. I mean, he's really instilling some confidence in me that, hey, they have something there at wide receiver that they got in the second round this year. Carson Wentz, I thought, outside of the sideline throws that he's still missing here and there, he played great outside of structure. I mean, that touchdown to JJ was all constructed by Wentz just keeping the play alive, disciplined not to run over the line of scrimmage. He was accurate for the majority of the game. He was great on third down. The offense ran the ball well. Alshon Jeffrey was awesome. You were up 28-14, and, you know, I'm at this backers bar in Arizona and just feeling the vibe, like, oh, man, like this team, they were looking really damn good. The defensive front was dominating, and it just all collapsed. And it's just the fan base right now, it certainly does feel deflated, almost like this is the low. It really is so similar to 2015, where it just feels like the fan base and the players and almost the coaches, it just feels like everybody believes that this thing is over and almost that an era is kind of over. Of course, they still have key pieces of this roster moving forward, but it just feels like the magic that you found the last 2 years is just, it's not coming back this year.
Yeah, it may not be coming back this year, but let's look what happened the past couple days. You just locked up your kicker, who unfortunately had a big miss today, but still, He was near perfect on the season coming into today. You locked up your right tackle. You locked up your right guard. You signed your quarterback. You have a left tackle of the future. You have a very good defensive line, a lot of young pieces there. You have J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who hopefully will be the wide receiver one of the future. You have two good tight ends. There's still a lot of pieces on this team moving forward, Lou, that are very, 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 very inspiring. But how are they going to retool it? And these next 6 months are going to be huge. It's going to be instrumental in the future of this franchise. But what they can't do is sit back and continue to do the same thing. You can't sign Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby to two more one-year proof deals. You just can't do it. If you could possibly try to trade Alshon Jeffery, it's worth a call to some team that maybe they would be willing to take that contract. Nelson Agholor, I want no part of him coming back. There's a couple other players that you want to see gone. You want to see them just try to retool this team with the building blocks that they have in Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks and Carson Wentz and Miles Sanders and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and many, many more that we didn't even mention, which is a lot better situation that many other teams are in the NFL. It's just, can you fix old wounds and can you not make the same mistake twice? They just can't continue to believe that Jim Schwartz is going to do the same thing he did in 2017 and somewhat put together a manageable defense moving forward. It's not going to happen. Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby should not be on this team. They need a change of scenery. There's guys all over the football field that just don't seem interested, that just fail to make plays. Guys like Mac Hollins on offense don't deserve to touch the field on offense. Just, we can go on and on and on about the negative, but look at the positive. We said Henry Ruggs, Lou. We mentioned these guys in this upcoming draft class. This is a huge draft class, and I believe in Howie Roseman still. I truly do. It's just, can they hold people accountable? And you can't keep the same coaching staff. You can't try to keep the same personnel. You have to make things, you have to make changes. You really do. I mean, you go to the college ranks and you look at a team like Baylor. They're in the top 15 right now. They were 1-11 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Teams have overcome bigger odds and in tougher situations. The Eagles, with a franchise quarterback, a franchise left tackle, right guard, right tackle, center, and wide receiver one, running back one, defensive tackle 1A in the NFL, two elite or top-tier defensive ends. This team has a lot of talent moving forward. It's just, can you get the right guys that are going to make them play and put them in the best position to succeed, who aren't Jim Schwartz and who aren't Corey Unlin and who aren't Carson Walsh and XYZ position coach that are just putting their players in bad positions and are allowing guys to get away with nonsense? They have to nip that in the bud, because toxic cultures can ruin teams, and you've seen it. I mean, look at the Cleveland Browns this year, a team with all the talent in the world, just has a bad coaching staff, a bad group of personnel, and a bad locker room, and they have gone down the tubes, and we are following suit with the Cleveland Browns and what they are doing this year.
Yeah, look, they're, again, I said they're in era, it kind of feels like it's over. I'm not saying certainly like they're going to be rebuilding or anything. I mean,
no,
they still have a ton of key pieces moving forward. I'm just saying, like, you can't keep that. And I've made this mistake this year, I guess, looking back to the past 2 years and saying, you know, what we have right now can recreate that because there is so many familiar faces. But honestly, a lot needs to be done this offseason to take that next step to get back to where you were the past couple of years. And a lot of that has to do with the coaching staff, defensive personnel, some offensive personnel as well. Right now you're picking 12th, and while you can still win out and win this division in the playoffs, Gino, I don't know. I mean, of course, I'm not saying I don't want to make the playoffs, but them making the postseason almost might prohibit them from making some of these changes that they need to in the offseason, maybe instill some of that complacency that you just can't afford. Oh, that's just kind of where my head's, I'm moving back and forth right now because, yeah, they're picking top 15 right now, but at the same time, here is this very doable path still to the postseason. It's pretty tough, but it's hard to really read into that postseason berth that's still obtainable when you lose to the Miami Dolphins, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing, and I said to a couple Bills fans, they were saying, oh, are you going to root for Buffalo on Thursday, on Thanksgiving? I said, honestly, I wouldn't hate to see Dallas win because I don't think this team after all the examples I have saw up through last week, and especially after today, has done even a smidgen enough to certify them as a potential playoff team, let alone a playoff contender, is just, it's not in my mind. It's not in my mind in the slightest. I'm looking to see what they can get in the draft. I want Henry Ruggs. I want a game-changing wide receiver. I want them to have a high pick because they don't have it. They need help. They need help. The first thing you have to do if you're ever going to fix an issue is understanding that there is an issue. And this Eagles team, they have problems. If they don't look at what they did today and realize that they have very, very big problems that aren't just dropping the football and taking stupid penalties, that those little things fall down to a bigger scale, which we call accountability and which we call coaching and which we call leadership and whatever you want to call it. There are bigger issues internally with this team that need to be addressed than hoping to get a potential playoff berth against maybe the Niners or Seattle, who you played already at home and lost to. And hey, if Seattle gets the first overall seed and we win a playoff game, our prize is going to CenturyLink Field in January to play Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I'm exactly. Fine with missing out on that. Look, I definitely want Carson Wentz to play a playoff game. I want to get that monkey off his back. I want to get that pressure off his back. I think for his psyche, it would be really big for the Eagles to make the playoffs this year. And again, you never know what you do when you get there, but like I said, I'm already skeptical that they're going to make the changes necessary this offseason, and them making the playoffs might make those odds even lower. But there definitely needs to be changes to turn around what right now is a 5-7 team that is a spitting image of the 2011 Dream Team, the 2015 Eagles team that many national media members picked to go far with Chip Kelly. It's been a really disappointing season, and this was kind of the time that me and Gino and most Eagles media and national media said, if the Eagles are going to make a run, it's during this portion of the season. And here is that cupcake part of the schedule, and you already lose that first game against the least talented team, I think, in the NFL right now, 37-31. So that's going to do it, though, for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles postgame show. Me and Gino will be back on Tuesday to continue to take a look at this loss and move forward. The Eagles still have a path to the postseason. I'm trying to say that as optimistically as possible. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast, 4 to 6 shows a week downloaded into your phone, so you will get you covered throughout the rest of the season. We also post them on LockedOnEagles.com, and the conversation always continues on Twitter, at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE. Once again, the Eagles fall to the Miami Dolphins 37-31. For Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.